Thank you. I've got a little bit of a frog in my throat too, but it's not from gardening. It's from being sick. So I've got that as well. But it's not COVID. Hey, it's always so awkward opening your laptop with one hand. This morning, it's so great to be up here. And I first just want to say thank you to Pastor Rob and Denise for the opportunity to speak. I don't take that lightly. And I'm so, so, so grateful because I've got a word on my heart from God. Before I actually share the word, I had a couple of people come to mind with a bit of a word from God during worship. I hope that's okay that I just quickly do that. Jem, I actually, in worship, I saw that God was releasing a new tongue over you, and it was the tongue of many tribes that I could see as you were using it and speaking it. And I felt like as you were gonna be praying this year, that you're gonna see a huge increase and that it's gonna be like another voice and another level for you. So I hope that encourages you. And BJ and Junior, Bianca, I can see you there. I'm not sure if Junior's with you, but I actually saw you both, and I saw that God had a gift for you, and it was a box with a bow on it. And I felt God say to me that at the right time, you'll receive that gift. And that was all he said. So I'll leave that with you to pray. I hope that encourages you. I've been praying about what to share. And a couple of weeks ago, I was lying in bed, and without any context, God said to me, don't look back. And I'm a bit of a scaredy cat. So I was lying on my side, and it was after midnight, and it was dark. And in the moment I was like, what's behind me, God? I'm scared. I don't want to look back. But, you know, and I also was like, hey, do not fear would have been nice, like a little context. But I didn't look back. And then I felt God say to me, don't look back. Remember Lot's wife. And I'd love to say that I actually got up and I prayed and I read my Bible and I had this massive revelation, but in true Claire fashion, I rolled over and went to sleep. I didn't do anything in the moment. And then the next morning I was getting ready for work, and I was sitting at my makeup table, and I like to put a sermon or a podcast on because, you know, contouring and God's word goes so well together. It's very holy. It's great. And I was scrolling through Elevation Church, and I saw Christine Kane's message come up, and it said, remember Lot's wife. And in that moment, I was like, oh, that's funny. That's what God said to me last night. Keep doing my makeup. And, you know, so often that God wants to confirm his word, he'll say something twice so that he gets our attention and he alerts us. But for my case, he'll do it three times because obviously I need to be told three times. And that Sunday I was chatting to Jen, and we were having like a super deep God chat, and she's so great for those chats, and we were bearing our souls to each other. And she said, oh, I listened to this great sermon recently about Lot's wife. And I was like, okay, three times, Lord, I'm listening. I can hear you. And so this morning, you know, I'm gonna speak about Lot's wife, and the title of my message is Don't Look Back, which is what God said to me. So why don't we pray first, and then we'll get into the word. Thank you, God. Lord, I just thank you, Father, that it is a new year, God. It is a new season and a new opportunity to speak your word and to know your word and to hear your word. And God, I just thank you, Father, this morning for your presence and your anointing, God. And Father, I also pray that you lubricate my throat, Lord, so I can speak this word with this sickness. And God, I just thank you, Father, that you're here, you're in the midst, and you have a great word for us. Amen. Amen. So to start, why don't we look at Genesis 19, which is actually, you know, where we read about Lot and his wife. So if you've got a physical Bible or an electronical Bible or some sort of Bible, why don't you open with me to Genesis 19? It's going to be on the screen. Before we actually read, I'm just going to give you a little bit of context. So Lot is actually living in Sodom, and he's quite wealthy. And there's two male angels that come to his town sent by God, because God's going to destroy the town. It's a very sinful town. The men in the town are full of lust. And you don't want to live in this town if you're a male or a female. And if you do, you probably want to have a whistle around your neck, because it's a hectic town, this town. It's full of lust. And so the two male angels come, and and they come to Lot's house, and the men come and surround Lot's house, and they say, send the male angels out, like, you know, we want them. And you can read between the lines with that, but it's actually in the Bible, you don't have to. And Lot, being father of the year, decides to offer his daughters to the men in the town instead of the angels. It's so lovely that he offers his daughters. I love that so much. And the angels pull Lot in and they blind the men, and the men eventually give up. And so we pick up in verse 15 where it starts here. And it says, as morning dawned, the angels urged Lot, saying, up, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be swept away in the punishment of the city. But Lot lingered. So the men seized him and his wife and his two daughters by the hand, the Lord being merciful to him. And they brought him out and set him outside the city. And as they brought them out, one said, escape for your life. Do not look back or stop anywhere in the valley. Escape to the hills, lest you be swept away. And if we jump down to verse 24 on the next slide, it says, then the Lord rained on Sodom and Gomorrah sulfur and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the valley and all the inhabitants of the cities and what grew on the ground. But Lot's wife behind him looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. Two things. Lot actually lingered. It's interesting, hey, sometimes when God's trying to pull you out of a sinful situation or there's danger ahead, and we can linger. And the second thing is Lot's wife is actually mentioned again in the Bible in Luke 17, and I couldn't find another mention of her. So we'll go to that next for a bit more context. And Luke 17 will be on the screen. Great. You guys are doing great today. So read with me 17:28. It says, likewise, just as it was in the days of Lot, they were eating and drinking, buying and selling, planting and building. But on the day when Lot went out from Sodom, fire and sulfur rained from heaven and destroyed them all. So will it be on the day when the Son of Man is revealed. On that day, let the one who is on the housetop with his goods in the house not come down to take them away. And likewise, let the one who is in the field not turn back. Not turn back. Remember Lot's wife. Whoever seeks to preserve his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life will keep it. It's really interesting, isn't it, that in the middle of Jesus talking about the coming of kingdom and the return of the Son of Man, he says, remember Lot's wife. So interesting, hey. He could have said anyone in the Bible, but he said, remember Lot's wife, because he said, whoever seeks to preserve his life will lose it. And you could almost say that looking back in this context is actually death, because Lot's wife looked back and she died. So what does God really mean when he says, don't look back? I believe this morning that it's three things, because three is the number that God, you know, hits me over the head with revelation. I was born on the third, and I'll talk a little bit more about numbers later. But the first point I want to make from Lot's wife is that salvation is ahead of us and death is behind us. You know, Lot's wife was offered salvation from destruction. She was offered life over death. And there's actually two definitions of the word salvation. And the first one is deliverance from harm, ruin, or loss. And the second definition is deliverance from sin and consequences. And that sounds like the same thing to me, doesn't it? Does anyone else think that's the same thing? Like deliverance from harm, ruin, or loss, deliverance from sin and consequence. It sounds like the same thing to me, that word salvation. And it's like the old or new, death or freedom, death or life, sin or freedom. And I think Lot's life wanted to choose salvation, I do. But I think that she was stuck looking back at what she was leaving behind when God was trying to bring her into the new. And I think she was stuck in worldliness because they were wealthy. You know, they had a pretty good life. Despite the town being sinful, they had possessions. And you know, we don't know what Lot's wife's name was. We don't, it just says Lot's wife. And I don't know about you, but I can really relate to Lot's wife sometimes. And I think sometimes maybe her name was Claire, or maybe it was like Cain or Ben or Cheryl. You know, we don't know her name, but I think we can sometimes relate to her. And a little bit about me with my testimony, part of it, a very big testimony condensed down, because I could talk for hours about how good God has been to me. But a very small part of it is that, you know, I grew up in a semi-Christian home. My parents were divorced when I was very, very young. I don't remember my parents together. And Dad would go to church and Mum didn't. She still had some sort of faith. And so at the age of 18, I entered into a non-Christian relationship. It was quite toxic and unhealthy. And I was in that relationship for 7 years and I turned away from God. God never turned away from me. And because He doesn't do that, we're the ones that turn away. And I turned away from God and I ended up moving from the sunny coast to Mount Isa, from beaches to red dirt. And I have no idea why I did that. Still to this day, I'm like, why did I do that? And so I was out there and hey, I had a pretty good life. Like I had a really high paying job because of the location. I had a nice car. I had a nice house. My relationship was okay. It wasn't great, but it was okay. But I started to feel like I was being consumed by sin in this town. I started to feel like it was going to start to rain fire, right? Like in Sodom. And I was thinking one day, oh, I need an out. And I felt led to actually leave my relationship from God. So, you know, I chose salvation in that way. And then one day my boss came to me and she said, you have to deliver training in Mackay. And I'm like, okay, I can't, but that's cool. And she's like, no, you have to. You actually don't have a choice. I'm like, okay, I'm sure this is illegal, but all right. So I will go to Mackay because I actually was made to go. And I came here and my sister lived here with her husband and baby Seth, and who's not a baby anymore. And she was pregnant with Ezra at the time. And I came and I visited the church and I sat in this service and Pastor Darren Hayhoe spoke a message about discontentment. And I felt like that message was written for me. And he said, why don't we pray a prayer for anyone that feels discontent? And so I put my hand up in that prayer and I need to quickly move. And I said, I'm so discontent, God. There's sin around me. I don't know you and you don't know me. And so then 2 days later, I was on the Sunshine Coast with my dad and I was crying and I said, Dad, I'm so discontent and I'm so far from God and I can feel this sin consuming me. But I also have a good things like possessions and stuff. And he said, all right, why don't we pray that God moves you where you're meant to be, like places you where He's got a calling and a purpose for you and a plan, and shows that He is so faithful and so good that He loves you and His hands on your life. And so later that afternoon after we prayed, I got a call on my phone. It was my boss in Mount Isa and she said, I don't want to make this call. And I said, well, why are you calling me then? And she said, because I need to call you to tell you that Mackay has called me and they have said, I'm offering you a position here, so much so we want you to transfer immediately, that we're going to pay for your entire move down to the fuel to drive your car here. God's so good. God's so good. And so He gave me an out. So I felt like I was Lot's wife, like He was leading me out. And you know, there's a reason why in your car that your windscreen is so much bigger than the rearview mirror, because your future is ahead of you, not behind you. And I really felt that. And you know, I don't look back on my old life now. I only reflect on how far God has brought me to here. But you know, it was a sacrifice having to move here. I left things behind. And my second point today is that salvation requires a sacrifice. And you know, Lot and his wife were wealthy. We know this. They had to leave everything behind. Despite the town being incredibly sinful, they probably had good times because, you know, sin can be fun. Like I had good times. But see, Lot's wife wasn't willing to sacrifice her old life into the new, to move into the new. And last night I was praying about this message. I also felt God give me the word surrender. And salvation requires a sacrifice and a surrender too. It's a surrendering. And you know, I sacrificed a really high paying job in Mount Isa. You know, I left a relationship. While it wasn't a godly relationship, I left it. I left friends that, you know, started to become family. I sacrificed that to move here. And sometimes it can be a move, like a physical move into a new town or a job that God wants you to surrender or sacrifice. Or sometimes it can be letting go of an old behavior or a mindset or even unforgiveness. And it could even be an offense or disappointment. And all of that is really what I experienced. And see, a sacrifice is being willing to leave behind something in order to walk forward. And only with God's help can we do this. And I love that scripture in Philippians 4:13. It says, I can do all things through God who strengthens me. And I couldn't have done the move without God. I say that now. I wouldn't be standing here without God. Excuse me. And when I moved here, I lived with Hannah and Jono and baby Seth for a while, but because they were pregnant with Ezra, I eventually wanted to move out. And an incredibly amazing testimony, but I have to tell it quickly, is that I got a house right across the road from this church, and the property manager was Pastor Darren Hayhoe's mother, who spoke that word about discontentment, and then his mum picked me out of 9 people to live in this house. And so there's a huge connection there. And that house, when I opened the door and I got the keys and I'd be living alone for the first time ever, and I felt God was sitting at the table with a box, and he said, welcome home. And that box was my heart. And it's hard not to get emotional when you think about how God takes you so far and how good he's been, because that box was my heart. And he didn't push me to open it. He said, I'm ready for you to open this when you are. And he didn't force me into it. But slowly I opened the box and I let the pieces of my heart fall out onto the dirty floor in my living room. And I know the spot in my living room. And I was there every night on the dirty floor surrendering. And every time I got off the dirty floor, I was cleaner. And that doesn't make sense. But see, sometimes things don't make sense that God gets you to do. And that was a surrender that I had to do. I had to surrender everything and make that sacrifice. But now I can stand here as a living testimony, knowing that I'm whole and that God's got a good plan for me. And I just want to say that nothing is more powerful than your testimony, that what God has done for you. And I think the greatest example, I didn't plan on crying, by the way. The greatest example of sacrifice leading to salvation was in the Bible, when Jesus went to the cross. And he's the true hero of my life. Like, you know, yes, I took the step to move here, but God was the one that actually did all the work and was the miracle worker and the promise keeper. And on the other side of choosing salvation and making a sacrifice is always a promise. On the other side, and that's my third point, and that's God's promises are ahead, because God had mercy on Lot and his family, and he had a promise of safety and protection. But unfortunately, we know for Lot it doesn't end well, and neither for Lot's wife. But see, we see this in the Bible that Lot's wife could have had an even better life, and God doesn't lead us down a new path to be worse off. He doesn't lead us down a new path to be worse off. He knows that there's a good promise on the other end. And we see this in the Israelites when, you know, through Moses, God leads them out of slavery, and they're in the wilderness, in the desert, and, you know, they're not glamping, but all their needs are met, because they've got food and they've got water and their clothes aren't deteriorating. And they looked back though, because they complained, and what was a 10-day journey was 40 years in the wilderness. And they looked back because they said, it's better for us to go back to slavery than to die out here. And I wonder if sometimes when we're in a wilderness season or a struggle, we're tempted to look back and go, it's better to go back to my old life because it's too hard, God. Yet on the other side of the wilderness was the promised land. And all throughout the Bible, we see this. We see this with Abraham as well, that he surrendered his life to God. God gave him a promise, and he was willing to sacrifice the very thing that would actually lead him to have that promise fulfilled, because he was willing to sacrifice Isaac. And I wonder if sometimes we focus too much on the promise and not enough on the promise keeper. When we're believing for promises, and I'm not saying that we can't believe God for promises, sometimes we can get swept up in what we're not willing to sacrifice or surrender. And it's laying it down and knowing that God is a good God and he's a promise keeper, laying that promise down. And following his whisper to Mackay was one of the best decisions I ever made. And it was such a whisper. It was a redeeming love pursuit, because Because now over the last 5 years, when I reflect, I've seen such a hand of God on my life. You know, like I'm earning more than what I was in Mount Isa, and it doesn't make sense. And, you know, I've got church family here. I've got friends. I've got my sister and my mum's here, and we've got family. And I can only articulate the way I felt when I came here into this building was that I was welcomed home. And I felt that. I felt that it was home. It was a new home. And that was like Lot and his family and Lot's wife. God had a new home for them. And that's why I can relate to Lot's wife. So in closing, I quickly want to share a couple of things and then I'll hand over to Pastor Rob. But not looking back is a sacrifice and a surrender. And not looking back can be laying something down, and sometimes it can be disappointment. And I'm going to speak rawly and say that's been something I've had to surrender. And that's been a disappointment, that maybe like my perceived delay of God's promise is actually, it's not a perceived delay. It's just God's perfect timing. And I believe that it's so important to not let disappointment take us out, because slowly, slowly it can chip away and it can, and make you doubt and go, it hasn't happened yet. You know, your word from failing from 2019 or 2020, it hasn't happened yet. And everyone's like, COVID happened, that's why it hasn't happened. No, God knew about COVID, right? It's not a delay, it's just God's perfect timing. And number two, I just want to, well, this is the second thing I wanted to say before I wrap up, is I normally pray for a word for the year. And I love doing this because it's a part of my surrender. It's a part of me saying, God, I'm giving you the year. What word do you want me to have? What do you want me to know? And I had tonsillitis and conjunctivitis and all the itises on New Year's Eve. I have been so sick this year. It's actually been a terrible, terrible start to the year, but I believe it's significant because this year is going to be good. And some people like that doesn't make sense, but for me it does. And so I was standing at the sink, rinsing my plate. I couldn't eat, I was crying, I couldn't swallow. And I remember thinking, I need to pray for this word. And I didn't even have the energy to, I just was like, I need to pray for this word, but I can't. And then instantly, I felt God drop the word promise onto my heart, instantly. And that night I had a dream of a supermarket, and it wasn't because I was hungry, because I didn't eat dinner. It was a spiritual dream, and there was a lady in the supermarket and she was searching for her lost child. And I could see the woman in the aisle, and I could also see the child there, and she was calling out. She was saying, promise, promise, come to me, promise. Promise, where are you? And she couldn't see it yet, but the promise was right there. And it was within reach. It was so close. And you may have already been given a word for the year. You may have prayed, but I would love to release this word promise over our church, because I believe that particularly God wants to encourage those that are praying for a promise that they haven't seen yet fulfilled. And particularly I feel it's for couples praying for a child and believing for a child. And particularly I feel it's for singles with godly marriages and new relationships. And particularly I also feel it's for houses and provision and businesses. And so 2023 is the year that we see the word promise over our church, I believe. Does anyone want to agree with that with me? And I did some research because I'm a weird Christian and I love all the weird symbolism and significance of numbers. Is anyone else like a bit weird? Yes, Peter Harris put his hand straight up. And oh, there's the throat. So I did some research, and the number 23 in the Bible, it can signify change. And then the others relate it to the Hebrew alphabet, and through more research, it can mean go. The words are up there. And then number 2 can mean choices and opportunity and also unity. And the number 3 means completion with the Trinity and also reproduction. Hello. Hello, the babies in our church. I'm believing for that. And so all together we have change, go, unity, opportunity, completion and reproduction. That's going to be a great year. And so I just want to pray before I hand back over to Pastor Rob about this year. And I believe that God wants to release that word over our church. So stand if you want, I don't mind. You can stay seated. Pastor Rob's going to come back up, but I'm just going to pray right now over this church. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. God, I thank you for this word promise over our church, Lord. I thank you, Father, that it's not a delayed timing, God, that your timing is perfect. And I thank you, Lord, that when we're willing to sacrifice and surrender, God, that the promise is on the other hand of that, on the other side of that. So God, I just thank you, Father, for 2023, for promises being released all over this place, for couples that may feel barren. God, I speak life into a womb. God, I thank you for houses that are not yet built or bought. I thank you for that provision. God, I thank you for singles and for connection and for unifying and for you bringing the love of their life into their season and into their lifetime, God. And I thank you, Father, that we can look to you, the promise keeper, as we lay down the promise. We receive that word for our church this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hey, good. It's good. Thank you, Claire. Very, very good. Just before you go, I just want to make this statement this morning. This church was started over 100 years ago by a lady who was named Annie Dennis. That was her married name. And she'd come up from Melbourne and she brought the story of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which was very new to Australia then, very new, certainly new in this climate here. And she was rejected by the other churches because they didn't understand the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They felt that wasn't a godly thing. She went on to plant churches. She saw people, many people saved. She saw demons delivered. She saw many healings. And she was a great lady. She never had a credential in the Assemblies of God, even though this church was a foundation member of the Assemblies of God. She was leading it. Never had a credential. One of the reasons why is because the men at that time didn't believe. They took the scripture literally and said a woman shouldn't preach or teach. So we didn't issue credentials to women until when? About 1960-something Westbrook, Grace Westbrook received the first credential. Now the point I'm making, ladies, I'm speaking to you this morning, we need the women to rise up in the kingdom of God. We need women to fulfill the calling God places on their life. And I'm putting a challenge before you. I think sometimes women hide behind a little bit, say, let the men do it. Let the men, you know, do what they need to do. They can be the spiritual leaders. But I'm calling, ladies, to you this morning. I want you to rise up. We need you. I have three fine women preachers coming this year to the church, and stand by, I'll give you their names at later time. But I value women in ministry. When I first came to the church, one of the prior pastors sort of didn't lean in that direction, seeing women in ministry. God dealt with me about correcting that, and I did. And we have promoted women over that time, brought a number into ministry as well. I see it as important. That's why I wanted last week Lisa to preach, this week Claire, because I wanted women, you to know we value women, not only as women, and not only as God's gifts, but as God's called to fulfill the roles that God has for your life. Please don't hide. Yeah, you can clap that if you want. That's the men clapping, I'm assuming. No, come on. We've got to rise up. Here's the promises of God. I believe that God is speaking to women in this church. And you're sort of saying, well, that's not really my function or role, or I'm not sure I can take that up. I want to say you can. You can. We're here to release you into the giftings that God has for you. Will you hear me this morning? Will you let it get into your heart? I appreciate Claire, who came to me some years ago and said, I want to grow in God. I want to fulfill what God has on my life. And I'm thankful that she has, and she's going forward in that. But I believe for more yet. That's one of the promises I am claiming this year. Amen. Thank you. That's a grimace. Give me a smile. Thank you. Lovely. Let's sing this song, Promise Keeper. Yep. Let's do it. Let's claim the promises. As you sing it, please stand.